Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll talk about resilience, genetics, and PTSD. But first, it's Monday, so let's start the week with the political junkie. Welcome back, Ken. How are you there in Washington, D.C.?
I am fine, Carrie. Good morning.
I was going to start with the president, but I have to start with Roy Moore, the candidate for Senate in Alabama, about whom all these about so far for today, for this hour. He's now saying he's going to sue what he calls the desperate Washington Post. But there's a lot of reporting coming out of Alabama that Republicans there are pulling away from him, that Senate Republicans don't, some of whom do not want to seat him. Where do you see this going?
Well, I don't see that Alabama Republicans are pulling away from him. I'm still not convinced that he loses that December 12th election to Doug Jones, the Democratic nominee, and that's pretty sad. But he is still campaigning. Roy Moore is still campaigning. He's still talking about suing the Washington Post, as Donald Trump did when other news organizations talked about sexual accusations. He said, "I'm going to sue them all."
He did.
Of course, he sued none of them exactly. It looks like what happens, though, that while Alabama Republicans may be sticking with him, Republicans in Washington are certainly breaking away. As you heard during the newscast, Pat Toomey, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, is the last to say that he should withdraw from the race. And if he won't do that, that the Republicans should consider a write-in campaign, either again with Luther Strange, whom Moore defeated in the primary. Luther Strange was the appointed senator for this seat that was once held by Jeff Sessions. Or if he does get elected, if Roy Moore does get elected, then maybe the Senate could refuse to seat him.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect the court will not go along with that, as we saw with Adam Clayton Powell back in the 1960s. The House refused to seat him. He went to the Supreme Court. And they said, no, you got to seat him. But the other alternative is that the Senate could expel him. And again, we're way ahead of ourselves because he still has to win the election. But the Senate could expel him, as they threatened to do with Bob Packwood, for example,
or
John Ensign or so. And they both resigned before they could be expelled.
Yeah. I mean, so does that have to take a two-thirds majority vote of the Senate? What's the procedure on that, Ken?
It's basically, it goes before the ethics of the Senate Ethics Committee. They'll bring up charges there will be an investigation. And right now, I think all we have is the word. Well, I'm not diminishing this, but all we have so far are the word of the four women who were teenagers back in the day when they said they were molested by Roy Moore, who was in his 30s. Now, apparently, just like with Harvey Weinstein, everybody is now saying, oh, we all knew this about Roy Moore.
Yeah.
And the great irony is that Moore is running a pro-God, because it's good to always be pro-God when you're molesting teenagers, but a pro-God, pro-family campaign. And, you know, you got to love those pro-family campaigners.
I mean, you saw the interview with Hannity, right, late last week or over the weekend, where he was asked about this. And he said something about, it wasn't my general behavior. I got permission from their mothers. I mean, here's the other thing, Ken. Just to be real, the Washington Post, this was a deeply researched piece. And these women were not calling up the Post to say, I need to talk to you about what happened with Roy Moore. The Post found them and
That's
researched
correct.
And reported this piece, even though Roy Moore has been going around saying, oh, the timing, they came out of the woodwork. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's absolutely true. And of course, the Roy Moore supporters are saying there's something strange about the fact that they're all coming out right before the election. But, you know, why did it take all these decades for them to come out? But as we saw with Harvey Weinstein
right.
and others, that sometimes they're bullied into submission. We already know that Breitbart has sent investigators to Alabama to uncover dirty stuff about these four women. So there's always the onus is always on these women. And sometimes it just, you know, just it's just too damning for them to come forward. And I guess maybe the fact that the newspaper, the Washington Post, approached them, they felt that it's just time for this to be revealed.
Yeah, that's why I stopped, because I was going to say the infuriating part of this is it's always the question about, well, why so long? And yet we see evidence of that everywhere. And by the way, nobody.
The last couple of weeks, yeah.
I noticed with Harvey Weinstein, there were not a chorus of Republicans saying, well, where was Gwyneth Paltrow back in when this originally happened? Such a double standard. Okay, so.
Oh, no, are you saying that they weren't Republicans or they were Republicans?
There were not. Nobody was concerned about the fact that these allegations against Harvey Weinstein went back so far. It was just automatically taken to be true.
Although there were a lot of Republicans who said, well, you know, why did Hillary Clinton wait so long?
Well,
you know,
yes, about that. But yeah.
No, I'm just saying that the double standards is just so remarkable. And everybody says,
right.
You know, if it were really true, they wouldn't have waited that long. And that is so unfair. And yet it's so endemic, systematic, in these kind of stories.
Ken Rudin is with us today, as he usually is on Mondays. And if you have questions about politics in general, you hear us talking about the Roy Moore election in Alabama or the president's trip or anything that comes up. What are you curious about? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. You can tweet in a question at @KerryNPR. Ken, one other thing. I heard Jonah Goldberg this morning on Morning Edition, and I was reading something that he wrote in the National Review, and this is where he's basically talking about Steve Bannon and Donald Trump's influence on the Republican Party, but he was also writing about Moore. He says, Steve Bannon is a multimillionaire former Goldman Sachs globalist who made much of his fortune in Hollywood. But his new racket, no less of a racket for being sincere, is to make himself the Joan of Arc to the Trumpen proletariat. He sells people. He sells people, many no doubt decent, on the idea that there is a great and powerful Oz behind the curtain, keeping them down, thwarting their dreams, and denying them their destiny. What do you make of that?
Wow. I mean, that's great writing.
It's
very descriptive.
It really is.
But it's just remarkable about what has defined politics as usual or as normal in this day and age, and what has and these people who have come from the Wall Streets of the world, who have suddenly become the voices of the proletariat, especially when the establishment is keeping them down. It's just remarkable just what's happened to. Just, well, one thing, the family values Republican Party. And, you know, there are the Mitch McConnell, when Bob Packwood was allegedly, I don't know what other word to say, than abusing or molesting women back in the 70s and
80s. Harassing, yeah.
Harassing women, thank you, that's the right word. Mitch McConnell, who was the head of the Ethics Committee, was one of those people who said, this cannot stand. And of course, a lot has to do, we care a lot about what Trump and Bannon have to say, but McConnell has a big say in this as well. And, you know, again, we still have some weeks to go before the election. It's December 12th is the election. But if there's some kind of a signal that the Republicans would expel him or something, that might affect it. But ultimately, I think what's going to happen is we're just going to have to sit back. Moore is not going to leave, just like Donald Trump was not going to leave after Access Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it'll be up to the voters. And the voters had their say in 2016, and the voters will have their say on December 12th.
Call here from Rick in St. Paul. Hi, Rick. What's your question?
Hey, hi. Well, he hasn't used an excuse yet that Alabama used to be a Democrat state, and since he was a Democrat, it was okay.
Okay.
Has he used that excuse yet?
Ken, I think Rick's being a little sarcastic here, but...
Well, but you know something? Until 1980, the Republicans had never elected a Republican. Alabama had never elected a Republican to the Senate. And now it's been since 1990 was the last time a Democrat was elected to the Senate in Alabama. So
wow.
Things have certainly change, but it would be kind of fun for Democrats to say, Republicans to say, well, you know, if Roy Moore did what he's accused of being doing, it may have been when he was a Democrat. But but again, that's kind of a fun way of defining Roy Moore.
Yeah, here's a call from Bruno in Mankato. Hey, Bruno, this is about Roy Moore. What'd you want to say?
Well, didn't President Trump give individuals like Roy Moore legitimacy regarding their abuse and their harassment, as well as just bragging about how he was able to grope women whenever he wanted to? So, you know, here's a president of our country who has basically set the moral standard and have given men, go ahead, do whatever you want with a woman. Look, I've been able to do it, and I bragged about it during my campaign.
Yeah, Ken, you kind of alluded to this. Donald Trump's would not get out and basically, you know, didn't respond. And the allegation, I mean, the tape, the Entertainment Tonight tape, proved that he actually said it. So,
well, of course,
you know,
that's locker room talk, and it never really happened.
Oh, okay.
The candidate said it was a locker room talk. But look, one way that Donald Trump responded was by bringing women who accused Bill Clinton of harassment to the debate.
That's so, right. You know, he did.
What's interesting, though, is that, you know, we always think of like people like Rick Perry, whose campaign ended because he couldn't think of the third cabinet agency that he was going to eliminate. And yet you have a Donald Trump who was accused of X, Y, and Z relations with women and attacks on Muslims and disabled and veterans and all that. And he gets elected. So, but in this new climate and this new, I guess you call it the Harvey Weinstein climate, it seems like everybody is being punished, and maybe, you know, I mean, not unfairly punished, but everybody is paying the price. And it seems like everybody has paid the price except for President Trump. And but that's
and potentially
another story
altogether. Roy Moore, right?
Well,
so
that,
why
that's
does
exactly
politics? I mean, why does politics get a pass? You know, for
well,
this cultural
I mean, look,
change.
Well, I mean, the fact that you have Pat Toomey and you have other Republicans, you had Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, the other day also said that he should withdraw from the race. I think these allegations are far too serious than to say, well, we don't know who's telling the truth. I believe the allegations and the people who are making the accusations far more than I believe these denials. So he's not getting a pass, really. But again, it's ultimately up to the voters in Alabama. And I haven't heard that same disdain and sadness and embarrassment that I hear in Washington. I haven't heard that in Alabama, at least as of yet.
That's right. I'm curious about your take on the elections on Tuesday, where the Democrats won New Jersey, to be expected, won the Virginia governor's seat by a larger margin than was expected, and flipped the House of Democrats to or delegates to Democrats. What's your conclusion?
Well, it hasn't done
that yet.
Oh,
they're still counting. Is that right?
It's right now. It's I think it's like something like 21 to 19. Or something like that. It's a two, but there were some they were too close to call, and they're recounting. You know something? It was a great night for the Democratic Party. I mean, even though Virginia, New Jersey, and New York City were all, look, that's blue areas. I mean, Virginia is the only state in the South that Donald Trump failed to win. So it was basically a status quo. But the fact, you're absolutely right. The fact is, I didn't know who was going to win in Virginia. And I thought that these late attacks, these kind of class and maybe race-based attacks and campaign themes by the Republicans might have helped put Ed Gillespie over the top. It was something to watch, and the fact that the Democrats won by 9 points is very encouraging for the Democrats. But what does it mean for 2018, which is the big question?
Right.
And I don't know what it means. You have 33 Senate seats up next year. 25 of them are held by Democrats, and many of them are held in states won by Donald Trump. So it's great to say, you know, Ralph Northam won in Virginia, and Phil Murphy won in New Jersey, and Bill de Blasio won in New York City. But what about the Heidi Heitkamps and the Claire McCaskills,
yeah,
and other vulnerable Democrats in 2018? You know, in other words, I'm not convinced that what happened last Tuesday can be transferred to 2018, but we'll see what the mood is like.
I was reading Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal, and she was talking about the Democratic gains in the Virginia House, and she quoted a GOP source who said They can't win with Trump, and they can't win without him. What's that source really saying?
That's a great quote, because that was exactly the Ed Gillespie campaign in Virginia. This guy was a Bush moderate establishment Republican who was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, who believed in immigration reform and opening up the doors for the Republican Party. And at the same time, with this alt-right slash Bannon slash Breitbart wing of the Republican Party taking ascendancy in many states around the country, he just didn't know whether to embrace Trump. Well, I don't want him campaigning for me, but I will say a lot of Trump-like positions. He just didn't know how to campaign, and I think it left him in nowhere's land, and the voters knew what to do with it. But again, Virginia is not the same as North Dakota, Montana, West Virginia, Indiana, other more conservative states. We'll see if it has meaning beyond the states of Virginia.
Ken, what did you make of the former national security leaders, James Clapper and Mr. Brennan? Their reaction on the Sunday shows about what President Trump has said about the intelligence, and again, he's gone back and forth on this, but he seemed to really dismiss American intelligence agencies' assessment of what Putin's doing. Go ahead.
He called Brennan and Clapper and I guess Comey as well. He called them political hacks.
Right. And to be fair, he then, came out later. Right. But yes.
Well, because obviously maybe John Kelly said, "Whoa, would you start your support?" And as John McCain so eloquently tweeted over the weekend, "You're backing this former KGB colonel over our own intelligence agencies." I mean, that's madness.
It is.
So at first he said, "I believe in Putin." I love this. I asked Putin and I asked him if he was involved in the meddling in the election. He said, "No, I believe him." But of course, within minutes, he tweeted about crooked Hillary. So I guess he believes who he wants to believe. I mean, he also said good things about Duterte, the dictator in the Philippines who has killed thousands of people in this anti-drug campaign, but he's the kind of leader that Trump likes. So.
He was calling him Rodrigo. They're good friends.
And
Who knows?
Well, he didn't call him short and fat,
as he did with the leader of North Korea.
That's right, exactly.
So I have to say this, that we got a number of calls where you and I were talking about more from people going, "What about Bill Clinton?" And I pointed out, you've mentioned Clinton three times in your various answers, but maybe you want to say something else about Bill Clinton and the allegations against him.
Look, there were allegations against him. He was accused of rape. I mean, Paula Jones accused him of rape. There were a lot of women who came forward, and to this day, they still insist there was harassment, not only, mostly when he was governor of Arkansas, but later. And of course, we saw the Monica Lewinsky thing. And look,
And there were impeachment proceedings against him.
He was impeached by the House of Representatives. Is exactly right. And of course, there are some people who felt that you don't remove somebody from the presidency for that. But there are others who say, why go on and on about Donald Trump and Access Hollywood when you had Bill Clinton accused of the same thing? And these are fair questions.
Call here from Liz in Minneapolis. Hi, Liz. What are you thinking about?
Hi, I just wanted to kind of give a comment about the phrase Weinstein climate. When we're talking about Moore, we're talking about an accusation of abuse of children. And when we're talking about Weinstein, we're talking about sexual harassment and sexual assault of women, which is obviously bad as well, but not the same. These are totally different things. I don't think they should be bucketed in the same
way. Liz, that is a very, very good point. The thought of sexual molestation of a 14-year-old girl, that goes beyond the pale, and that is, in anybody's book, that is illegal and against the law and a disgrace. And that's a very good point, that there is harassment of women, but a 14-year-old child takes it to another level. That's a very good point that you make.
Are you ready for your Newsmaker Sound of the Week, Ken? You know
Absolutely
how you love
not.
This. Don't
yeah, I do,
say
I do.
Not.
I,
okay.
I do.
You ready?
No. Okay.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
Okay, they say it's your birthday. Is that true, Mr. Rudin?
Well, I think that was on the Beatles' Alt-White album. Was that the Alt-White album?
But the Alt-White.
Sorry, that's cute. A cheap joke. But that, yes, today is my birthday.
Wow, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much.
How many political buttons would we pin on if we were celebrating your birthday?
I'm sorry, this microphone is stuck. I can't hear. My headphones stopped working. But thank you for that birthday.
Happy birthday.
I really appreciate it.
Really good to.
Love
and
you,
I'm
Carrie.
Glad
thank
I could celebrate with you, Ken. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Many candles to you, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
Not that many.